KFYO, good morning, 7:39. Tom and Laura, Congressman Randy Neugebauer is on the line in studio with us. Welcome to the program, Congressman. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Tom, Laura. How are y'all?
Good morning.
Laura's feeling a little puny today. She had round number three of chemo on Thursday. It's kind of, well, in layman's terms, kicking her butt.
It is this week.
And I've been thinking about you, and I wondered how many treatments you'd had. So three, I guess, so far. Is that
it's
right?
It's three. I just have one more to do.
All right. Well, go for it, girl.
I will.
All right, Congressman, you get a lot on the plate this week. One of the big things that we just, I guess, this last week had a vote on the Farm Bill and the modifications to the SNAP program. Give us the play-by-play and the color on that.
Well, you know, we had split the Farm Bill, as we talked about on the program a number of times, and so one of the last pieces in order to move the ball down the road to get to a conference was to get the SNAP portion passed. And we did, and with some, I think, some good reforms. It's about $40 billion worth of reforms over 10 years. And so that's about $4 billion a year in reforms in a program that's going to cost about $80 billion a year, you know, for the foreseeable future. So I think there were some good reforms in there. Just, you know, things like able-bodied people ought to be looking for work. Making sure people qualify for these benefits. There's some loopholes where states were able to pay a small number of benefits and people were automatically put on food stamps.
It'd be like the utility assistance and things like that.
Yeah, they call it heat and eat. And basically a state could pay out like $4 or $5 a month for utility assistance to a family, that automatically put them on food stamps whether they qualified for them or not. And so I think these are good common sense reforms. And as we've talked on the program before, and Laura, I think, called us out on that, is that for people that need these benefits and that qualify for them, none of the reforms that we talked about would take money out or take food out of the mouths of those people. But it would begin to do something that was originally intended, and that was to make this a temporary assistance for a number of people. And, you know, one of the things we want to do is help them get back on somebody's payroll and have a good-paying job, you know, so they don't need to be on food stamps.
Hey, Congressman, this is something that may be related, a little bit out of the blue, but I thought you might want to, you may know, but I'd like to know from your perspective if this has anything to do with it. Is the SNAP program at all integrated with Head Start? Do you know?
I do not believe that's the case, but I will double check on that. What we have is there's a lot of different nutrition programs that are interwoven into both state governments and federal governments. You have meals in your schools, for example. In some cases, we furnish some children both breakfast and lunch. But those programs are separate programs, I believe, from the SNAP program. But I don't believe that Head Start is tied to the SNAP program.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons why I was asking that, I had some, actually two different people ask me that over the weekend. And we're kind of concerned about that because some of the Head Start programs around the state are actually moving into the school districts. The school districts are actually assuming the responsibility and operation of Head Start programs. That's why we asked that question. Anyway, we're going to be back talking about continuing resolution and the debt ceiling. Randy Neugebauer on News Talk 790 KFYO. It's 7:43. Good morning. News Talk 790 KFYO. Good morning. It is 7:47 with Tom and Laura. Congressman Randy Neugebauer is on the line and in studio. Welcome back to the program.
I was just reading an article about how to explain the continuing resolution to your friends at happy hour. Could you help us out a little bit on that one?
It's a happy hour.
It would be a long happy hour. But, you know, that's a great question, Laura. And, you know, because a lot of people are reading about CR and the debt ceiling votes that are pending. And the CR vote, mm-hmm. we had a vote last week on. And basically CR is this. It's basically the authorization to continue spending money. It's like if you, when my kids used to say, "Dad, can I have a new tennis racket?" And I'd say, "Yes, you can have a new tennis racket." So that was authorizing them to spend that money. Now, the debt ceiling is they were going to go and use my credit card, and when they went to buy that tennis racket with my credit card, my credit card had been maxed out. And so where we are in our country right now is we've been borrowing about 30 or 40 cents for every dollar we spend, and our credit card is maxed out. And so the CR basically is the authorization for the government to spend money at an appropriated level.
All righty. I think we could explain that at happy hour now. If I ever went to happy hour.
If you talk about that at your happy hour, I'm very concerned.
I know, really.
the interesting thing about the continuing resolution is a lot of it just seems like it's so adversarial. And I think on the right side, they're, you know, basically what we want to do is we just want to rein in spending and quit spending, you know, reduce our level of spending. On the other side, I know that and that seems to be, you know, our focus. On the president's side, he was saying over the weekend that we're not going to negotiate away the ability for us to pay our bills. Now, with running up the bill comes some responsibility for spending.
You know, I think that's what's so frustrating for me about the president. He ignores the real issue. He's always talking about spending. And, you know, everybody likes to spend, but we're spending money that we don't have. And what the president doesn't bring to the table is how we're going to fund this spending that he wants to continue. Now, he's talked in the past that he'd like to take more of the American taxpayers' hard-earned money in the form of higher taxes. But he never really wants to talk about, you know, reducing spending. And, you know, we're going to spend about $3.9 trillion this next year. A lot of people think that's enough money. In fact, we'll collect, this will be a record amount of money that we will collect in taxes from the American people. So, yes, the CR discussion and the debt ceiling discussion both are about learning to live within our means, just like families all across Lubbock have to.
Now, I know that's over in the Senate right now, as far as the resolution. And Senator Cruz has got this national petition that he's asking people to sign up for. If let's say, you know, X amount of Americans actually signed up for this petition, what are the ramifications there? Is this really something that can make a difference, or are we just trying to maximize the visibility of that perspective?
Well, I think every time the American people speak up, it makes a difference. And I think what the American people have been saying, they said this before Obamacare was passed, and they've said it since, is they don't like this bill. And the more they've learned about it, they like it even less. And so a lot of the debate and discussion that's going on about the CR and will probably be about the debt ceiling as well is about either defunding or delaying the implementation of this act. And so there's a lot of people that have signed this a pledge or this petition out there saying, you know, defund Obamacare. Now, the politics is, as we get close to this coming weekend, is that there's a potential that that Congress can't agree on the terms of this CR. We could reach a point where we would not, the government would be not authorized to spend money, and the word government shutdown has been used as well. And so as we get closer and closer to the end of this month, which will be the end of this week, you're going to hear more and more of that discussion.
Okay, Congressman Randy Neugebauer with Collins & Mack on Monday morning right now, 7:51. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. Good morning. Temps dropped to 59 degrees now at KFYO. Tom and Laura, it's 7:56 on the line. Congressman Randy Neugebauer back in the house. Good morning, sir. And
good morning.
I guess you're in Lubbock right now?
I am. I'm in Lubbock today, then headed to Abilene tomorrow, and then back to Washington on Wednesday.
Okay. No doubt the focus when you get there is going to be continuing resolution and the debt ceiling. How much more money are they wanting to raise this? You know, how farther do they want to raise the ceiling? I mean,
and you know, the president would like to do it for a much longer period of time and a much larger period of time. I think one of the things we're trying to decide is, and what we've kind of said in the past is, for whatever increase in the debt ceiling, we need the reforms and spending cuts to offset that. Otherwise, we'll just be doing this through perpetuity. And so I think one of the discussions that we'll have this week and possibly next week is, you know, how long or how much to increase the debt ceiling and what kind of reforms can we put in place, you know, to start to change the direction where we're not spending money we don't have.
Now, it's kind of been said, I was hearing some discourse over the weekend, that if this doesn't really pass to a point, then ball's in Harry Reid's court and saying, okay, where's he going to have to make his cuts? Is he going to pick and choose? Is he going to choose military over other issues? Right now, I don't think we can, or it's wise to cut our military at all.
No, and I think a lot of people are very concerned about the way the sequester cuts were made. They were made across the board. That's really not the way to do that. The way you do that is you go through the budget and you take the wasteful things out, the things that aren't the top priorities, and you make sure you fund your real priorities, and certainly defense is one of those. I think what you're going to see from the Democrats and Harry Reid and the president is they're going to say, you know what we need to do to raise the debt ceiling and to keep this from happening in the future, we just need to increase taxes. And that's been basically their solution in the past. I think at one point in time that the president wanted $1 trillion more in new taxes. And you know what? I think we're to the point now where the American people feel like they're probably taxed enough. And what happens, and one of the reasons I've introduced two pieces of legislation. One, it would require 2/3 vote to increase taxes. The other one that would require 2/3 vote to increase the debt ceiling. The reason I did that is because we need to make it harder to tax and harder to keep putting things on our credit card and get Congress focused on cutting spending.
This is one thing, and we got about 30 seconds, Congressman. One thing that I don't think people are really in touch with. The economy is not in a great shape. Our taxes are higher. Our properties are valued higher. We're paying more taxes, and then we're being taxed again and again and again. How can everything be worth so much more in an economy where we're upside down? I don't get it.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons that our economy is sluggish is because we are doing just exactly what you said. We're taxing and taxing and taxing. If we leave money in the economy so that businesses and individuals can stimulate the economy, put them in charge of spending their money, get small businesses creating jobs, that our tax revenues will begin to increase.